The Sean Green Show. Sean covers all things entertainment. Movies, books, news, concerts, television, video games. The entertainment guru. Sean covers it all. This is the Sean Green Show podcast. The Sean Green Show podcast. On WGN Plus and SeanGreenShow.com.
Welcome to the Sean Green Show. I'm Sean Green. I want to thank everybody out there that's listening. Hey, make sure you guys check out SeanGreenShow.com. That is SeanGreenShow.com. All the latest news, interviews, and podcasts are up at SeanGreenShow.com. Also, if you want to stalk me on Facebook, it's Sean Green Show Media. If you want to check me out on Facebook and stalk me there. On Twitter, it's at Sean Green Show. If you want to check me out on the Sean Green Show and the Sean Green Show YouTube page. And you can also check me out on WGNplus.com. Only the hottest podcasts and interviews go up on WGNplus.com. Special thanks to the Tribune Company for that. Jam-packed show for you today. You know what? Everybody's been telling me about Watch American Horror Story. I know that show comes on Wednesday, but I'm so busy that I never really get a chance to really, you know, check it out. And I actually watched it for the first time yesterday, and I was like deeply disturbed by it because there was so many different scenes in that episode that just stuck in my head. And before I even get into, you know, talking about all that stuff, you know, we had her on a few weeks ago, and she was so fun that I had to have her back. Sam Phillips, former Penthouse Centerfold and Vivid radio host. You can hear her on the Single Life radio show that's on Vivid XM. That's number 791 if you have Vivid XM. If you don't have Vivid, go out and get it. I call it the hottest hour in radio. Is done every Thursdays and Fridays from 12 to 1 Pacific. If you want to check that out, socialunderground.com. Also, she's at Instagram, Sam's Pajama Party, and at The Single Life if you want to check her out on Twitter. She joins me right now on a Super Celebrity Hotline. Hey, Sam.
Hey, Sean. What a great intro. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. So, all right, I'm watching American Horror Story, and if you haven't seen it, you know, at this point, so what? I'm going to spoil everything for you. The one scene that stuck in my head was the drill bit scene. And you know exactly what I'm talking about when I call it the drill bit scene. And I'm not going to lie, when I watched that, my butt cheeks clenched up just a little tighter when I saw that. And I'm not going to lie, American Horror Story almost lost me with Freak Show because I did not understand it. It was too many musical numbers in it. And when I heard they were going to have Lady Gaga in American Horror Story Hotel, I'm like, you know what? I don't need another musical. And I almost didn't watch it. But when I watched, you know, the first episode, it brought me back to the very first season with Murder House. And I know you watched it because you're a big fan of it. What did you think?
I kind of liked it. I was preparing myself not to because all of the promos that I saw just featured Lady Gaga sort of like posing. And I was like, this isn't a music video. This is American Horror Story. So what's the concept? What's the storyline? What is she? So from what I understand, it's usually the same cast that comes back every season reprising different roles of a completely different storyline. So Jessica Lange, you might notice, is conspicuously absent from this season, and I believe the Lady Gaga role would be the role she would have played had she stayed.
Yeah, because that was one of the things that I actually got right off the bat, and I'm like, okay, you know, it was just totally, the way it was just presented, you know, after seeing it, Lady Gaga was an excellent choice. And they even did somewhat of a musical number, but it actually fit the scene. So I was really satisfied with the very first episode. I just hope, you know, they don't stray away from what they started off with, because at this point, they have me hooked, especially after what they pulled with Freak Show. I'm like, okay, you got me back. Keep me.
Okay, so let me give you a little background super quick on this American Horror Story, the hotel version.
Sure.
So in Los Angeles, there is a hotel downtown where They found a body of a dead girl in, like, the water reservoir on the roof, and she'd been in there for forever, and all of, like, the residents were drinking her dead skin cells and her decomposing body. And this Cortez Hotel is centered around that particular hotel in downtown Los Angeles. That, I think it was called the Cecil.
Oh, wow.
Okay. Now, really quick, the Cortez in Los Angeles, the fake hotel that American Horror Story Hotel is about, basically is a host to strange and bizarre events spearheaded by its owner, the Countess. So Lady Gaga is the owner, who is a blood-sucking fashionista. This season features two murderous threats in the form of the Ten Commandments killer, a serial offender that justifies his actions in accordance with biblical teachings, and then the addiction demon who roams the hotel armed with a drill bit dildo.
Oh, man. You bring back the dildo. I got to clench up a little bit more there. Oh, man.
Didn't you see that drill bit was attached to a dildo, attached to a man who, or a creature or whatever that was invading another person from the back end?
Oh, my God. That was so... I'm not going to... I swear to you, I screamed. When the drill bit came out, I screamed. I was like, oh, my God.
And I tell you, I was watching it with my gay man friend, and even he screamed. He's like, oh, girl. Ah! I'm like, oh, my God. Yeah.
Now, on a lighter note, the Muppets, you know, they're in their third episode, and it's been getting a lot of, you know, mixed reviews. Some people say that they love it. I'm on the side of I love it. Then you have the ones that say they don't like it because it's too, quote-unquote, dirty, too adult. But me, as a Muppets fan... the Muppets always took kind of like an adult tone. This particular version of the Muppets, to me, it reminds me of The Office and the Larry Sanders Show. So I'm very satisfied with the Muppets. I like the fact that, you know, it's a whole behind the scenes deal of what actually happens after, you know, a show. And then all the celebrity cameos are awesome. So I'm a really big fan of the Muppets.
I think what I like about it, I haven't seen it, but from what I've been reading about it, basically Miss Piggy and Kermit are broken up. They're no longer together, and he's producing her late night show.
Yeah.
So there's the dynamic of having to work with your ex who's a whore. There's the dynamic of hot guest stars coming on, probably hitting on the frog.
Right.
So the pig is going to get all jealous. I just think I don't think there's any departure from what the Muppets always used to be, in my opinion, which was adult entertainment couched under the guise of pretending it's for children.
Right. Now, have you ever had to work like with an ex before? And if so, I mean, how did that feel? I mean, was it weird or did you just, you know, block it out of your mind?
Oh, my God. That's so funny you ask that. So, Sean, so I starred in this movie in 1980. Oh, God. Was it 89? Oh, a while ago. Called Phantasm 2.
Now, okay,
so the lead of this movie was a guy named James LeGros that really should have gone on to become a much bigger star. He did, like, a Drugstore Cowboy and some really independent, cool films. But, like, his mainstream fame, I don't think, really has come to him yet. So him and I started banging during the making of the movie.
Right.
Fell in love. Well, as all good on-set romances, the minute that the movie was done, I was out of love. And then I think I moved on to Emilio Estevez, who, by the way, is extremely hot. So he and I, me and, James LeGros, we break up. All of a sudden, we get a call. Oh, and mind you, he showed up at my uncle's house crying, like, sitting outside the door, like, pining away, like, really in love. I broke this kid's heart. I feel terrible.
Oh.
Now, I know. I was awful. So, meanwhile, we get a call from the production probably I don't know, a month later, saying, we need to do reshoots. Everyone back to the set.
Wow.
So what we had to reshoot was a scene in a morgue, and I'm laying naked on a slab, and my ex comes in with a flamethrower, does a once around the room, passes me by, and keeps on going. It was extremely awkward having to lay naked with a guy that you were banging, that you're no longer banging, but now you're having to force to be worked with again.
Yeah.
With no clothes on. I don't advise it. Normally, it can work and it cannot work. Like, I've slept with bosses before, and it's worked out. And I've, you know, and directors, and it's worked out. And I've had sex with co-workers, and it's not worked out.
Right. Well, you know what? It's one of those things that, you know, I've had the displeasure of actually running into an ex. You know, we technically didn't work together, but I ran into an ex, and this was about 3 years ago, and we were at this restaurant in Chicago downtown, and I was actually on a business dinner. It wasn't even really a date. And
with a hot chick?
Yeah, he was pretty hot. And I ran into her, and she was with a guy, and we sat down, and I spoke to her when we passed, and then I guess she was, like, really, really angry, and she walked over, and she just started going off at me in front of the business date. Luckily, you know, it was like, you know, she, you know, my date was like, you know, don't worry about it, but it was just really embarrassing and awkward for that to happen, but I don't know.
How long had it been since you guys broke up to when you saw her at that place?
It was about 6 months, but like I said, it was one of those places that we used to frequent a lot because we loved to eat there. It just so happened that we both went there on the same day at the same time.
I know, but for her to be so angry at you 6 months later, she really must have been hurt. Sean, you broke her heart.
No, I didn't do it. You know what?
You broke her heart.
I guess I did. I mean, but we weren't compatible at all. I mean, sexually we were compatible, but, you know, for me it takes more than just sex to keep me around. I have to be mentally stimulated too. And,
yeah.
You know, most guys won't admit to it, but, you know, we do like to be mentally stimulated. You know, the physical part, it'll last.
Guys just want to be physically turned on.
Well, yeah, it's like you can be, it's like one thing to be hot, but it's another thing to be hot and I can talk to you and have these long drawn out conversations with you. So to me, the conversation is more of a turn on. You know, the physical eventually will go away, or I will look past, you know, the hotness and the breasts and the ass. I'll look past all that after, you know, a couple of, you know, go rounds in the sack. So that's fine.
Yeah.
So
yeah, well, because in the morning, like, if you think about it, Sean, the amount of time you're actually fornicating with someone is maybe, I mean, like, if you're a stud, maybe a couple hours out of 24. The other rest of the time, you need to speak with them, engage with them, interact with them, go one-on-one mentally with them, emotionally with them. There's more than just sex. And I think, you know, everybody makes a big deal about sex, but I don't think it's the key component to making a relationship work.
No.
You can have great sex and nothing else, and that relationship will not work for long.
Right. And what kills me now is, like, what's going on today is, you know, it's this, like, this crazy story that I've been reading about, and this new phrase everybody's using, which is Netflix and chill. And for those of you that don't know what this is, Netflix and chill has become the code word for casual sex. And, you know, Netflix has been around for a while, and I've had plenty of dates where we were like, you know what, let's not go out. Let's, you know, you come over to my house, we watch Netflix, I'll make dinner, we'll chill out. You know, if something sexual happens, then it will happen. But I'll say about 80% of the time we were having sex at the end of the night. But I think now a lot of people are looking at this and they're going, you know, if you invite a girl over your house to watch movies,
she just bought a banger.
Well, yeah, I mean, and then they get offended by it. And
but for, you know why? It's because you guys aren't making any effort anymore. It's so easy to just have us come over, watch a movie you don't really have to pay for except your $7.95 membership fee per month. And then, you know, dinner's not that expensive. So basically a guy is not making a huge supreme effort anymore to get laid.
Well,
to have a Netflix account.
Well, I will say this. I mean, for me anyway, if I did invite somebody over my house, I would cook dinner. It wouldn't be anything that was, you know, run of the mill. I would take the effort to cook, have wine, and have the setting be, you know, presentable. Now, I never look for the end result to be sex, and that's just me. But there are a lot of guys out there that would be like, okay, I'm gonna make sure this happens. But you know, in the way everything is set up, especially with the economy, there are a lot of guys out there that can't really afford a really expensive date. So they try to be.
But you know what? Netflix is like a low rent version. If I want to get laid, Sean, I say, hey, come on over to my house. Let's get a pay-per-view movie.
Yeah.
Aha, that's right. Those suckers cost like $14. I'm willing to invest in you if you're going to put it in me.
Well,
but, you know, well, you're worth more than just a Netflix movie, Sean.
Yeah, I mean, I'm really creative when it comes to, you know, if I get to the point where I want that person at my house, because that's not the first. I mean, for me, and I've
not the first time you bring somebody.
No, it's like I'll say by. What's the acceptable amount of dates that you would go on before you end up at that guy's house, honestly?
Oh, damn, like the first one?
Seriously?
I've even had a date off of Tinder where I made the guy dinner.
Like, really?
And we watched a movie. Hello.
Oh, man, I'm so scared of Tinder. I'm really... I've heard so many horror stories from Tinder that I just stay away from it.
What I like about it, though, Sean, really quick, is, okay, so... There's a picture of a chick, and you can look down, and you can see how many people you have in common with her off of Facebook. And then you do recon. You call your friend. You go, yo, do you know that chick, that blonde named blah, 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 we're mutual friends? And then you find out from a couple of your pals, is she totally crazy? Will she put out? What kind of girl is she? And then you can make your decision whether or not you want to take her out. But here's the thing. Guys look at Tinder literally to get laid. Girls go to Tinder for boyfriends. Like, girls approach sex for different reasons. It's not the physical release you guys are looking for. We want to bond emotionally with men. So we're always, like, hoping that, you know, daddy comes along or, you know, my hubs comes along or girls are always on the hunt, always and forever.
Wow. But can I ask you this then? So when you do meet a guy, do you already have a negative aspect of him since you met him on Tinder and he has to prove himself otherwise?
No, not at all. Mm-mm.
Wow. Because I know what, I'm going to do an experiment.
I think it's more for guys in reverse for chicks. Because like what kind of respecting chick is on Tinder? Like that's what I would think guys would think because guys are using it to hook up. So obviously, that girl must be a slut. She's on Tinder.
Right.
Right.
Now,
so I think guys have that opinion, but they would be shocked that half these chicks, if not more, just want a relationship.
Wow. Okay. This is a lot thrown at me because I'm going to try this experiment. I'm going to join Tinder tonight. After I talk to you, I'm gonna download Tinder on my iPhone. And I'm going to make a profile and I'm going to update you next time we talk on the success that I've had on Tinder or in success. I don't think I'm going to have success because I just.
You're going to love it. I did the very same thing. I quote unquote joined Tinder for my radio show, The Single Life, as an experiment because I wanted to do a topic on hookup apps on your phone. But how can you really spend an hour talking about something that you've never actually tried? So for the purposes of the spirit of my show, I joined. Well, it was pretty interesting. You have to do it. There's actually some really cool people on there. And you're going to die. You're going to see people and be like, oh, she's on Tinder. No, like, you're going to be shocked.
Wow. Now, yep. Wow. Now, one thing I definitely want to talk about with you, too, is Northwestern University. They had just launched a Sex 101 online class for the incoming freshmen that aims to teach sexual and reproductive health. And I thought this was like one of those really cool things to actually happen. And I'm surprised that this is something that they're just starting to actually teach there. And do you think this is something that should be implemented in all college courses?
I think it should be implemented in all high school courses. I think there needs to be a serious sex ed for high schoolers and even younger than that, like junior high.
Yeah.
Because kids, I hate to say it, are sexually active in junior high school.
Yeah.
So and here's the thing. Back when I was doing The Single Life on 97.1, which was an FM talk station local in Los Angeles, I used to have celebrities sit and guest host with me all the time. One of them, Lorenzo Lamas, one of my really good friends. And Lorenzo and I, one of the nights that he sat and co-hosted with me, his daughter, who was in June, I think she was even in elementary school. She was like 10, however old you are, at 10, 11, 12 years old, that's how old his kids were, came home with a permission slip from school for him to sign on whether or not the school could teach his children about reproductive organs and a loose where do babies come from sex ed type curriculum. And if you said no, they would put you in like a homeroom by yourself and you could read for the hour or however long the class is.
Wow.
So there, and then we had the whole debate on the radio. Whose responsibility is it to teach kids about sex? Is it the parent? Yes, but a lot of parents don't. Is it the school? Yes, I think that they should present some type of educational curriculum, certainly about reproductive organs, certainly about diseases, certainly about the menstrual cycle, certainly about things that could affect teenagers sexually, venereal diseases, condoms, babies, all that kind of stuff. I think it's a necessity, and I think half the problems that we have is from kids who grow up without the proper foundation and education that run rampant, spread diseases, make babies, don't know what the hell's going on because no one's ever taught them.
Yeah, and I know with me, I was a late bloomer when it came to sex, you know, but a lot of these kids now, they are exposed to so much sex, especially because most kids nowadays, by the time they're like in fifth, sixth grade, they already have a phone, you know, or a smartphone, you know, so they're always exposed to sex. And
sex is in commercials. Yeah, sex is everywhere. Carl's Jr. sexualizes eating a hamburger.
Right, right. And with that, you know, kids, they want to see what's on TV. So if they're exposed to, you know, anything at an early age, they're gonna get curious, they wanna try it out. So yes, they need to learn about, you know, the dangers of having unprotected sex, or, you know, the dangers of you know, having kids at an early age. And so classes like this really do need to be taught. And unfortunately,
I think it's terrible that they're waiting until college to do it.
Right.
Before then.
Yeah, and then, you know, when you get kids that have the permission slips, that they get permission to teach, you know, common sense stuff, you know, and the parents say, no, I don't want my kid learning this stuff. Okay, fine. Are you going to teach them? And they're so nervous about teaching them about certain things, or they may be ignorant to certain situations when it comes to sex medically. So I think this needs to be really implemented, and I think this is a really cool thing. One thing I definitely want to ask you as well, as far as, like, you know, the single life, what's going on the single life on your show this Thursday and Friday? Because I know you have, like, you always have some really interesting things going on.
You know what? Unlike you, who you have your stuff together, you have, like, the best producer. I have a great producer, too. I don't mean that I don't have a great producer. But you and your producer are so on top of it, like, weeks in advance. I am not like you. So I still don't know who I have co-hosting with me on Thursday and Friday.
Oh.
I usually book them the day before. Oh. I have a Rolodex of adult stars that would knock your socks off. And, you know, unlike what people think, you know, they're flaky, they're flighty, they're this, they're that. Oh, no, they are not. They are professional. They are on time. They are consistent. They want to work. So I have 20 of them that I could just go down the list and call and see who's available tomorrow. And there's always somebody that wants to promote something. So, boom, there's my co-host. But I can tell you what's happening on Vivid Radio today, and actually almost like right now for you guys, Columbus Day, since it's Columbus Day, I put together a Columbus Day sexual special for Vivid Radio.
Oh.
So what I did was I did a little research on that crazy guy, Columbus. He was a very scandalous guy.
Really?
He owned slaves. He basically, Abe Lincoln didn't start the whole slave trade suites. It was Columbus. He was the biggest slave trader. He was awful. He raped and pillaged and plundered and killed, and you have no idea. So anyway, in honor of Columbus, I wrote a radio teleplay that chronicled the sexual history of Christopher Columbus, and I just made it all up. Like, he got divergenized by an Italian prostitute when he was 19 before he set sail for wherever I had him set sail to. So I took the real history of Columbus and every port and land and country that he plundered and pillaged. I had him get down with a native or somebody from that land or area. So I had an adult star named Kiki Dare act out, forgive me, all of the white girl roles. And then I had Sapphire, who is my black radio producer, act out all of the black lady roles. And she was hilarious. Like, she did, like, the Jamaican lady, like Miss Cleo. And then I had a really great comic named Jimmy Della Valle, who played Christopher Columbus. So we just improvised off of, like, scenes that I would set up, and I was the narrator. So that was the good stuff, the chronicles of Christopher Columbus conquests, as read by Jimmy Della Valle, Kiki Dare, Ms. Radio Sapphire, and myself.
Wow.
It was pretty funny.
All right, and there you have it. Sam Phillips, former Penthouse Centerfold and Vivid Radio host of the Single Life Radio Show, heard on XM 791, heard Thursdays and Fridays, 12 to 1, socialunderground.com. Instagram, Sam's Pajama Party, if you want to check it out. And on Twitter, it's at The Single Life, if you want to check her out on Twitter. Make sure you guys check out her Columbus Day sexual special. And that's on XM Radio 791. Make sure you guys check that out. Sam, it is so awesome to talk to you every time. I'm definitely going to join Tinder tonight.
I can't wait to hear.
I got to do it. I'm going to see if anybody matches up. You know, if I match up with anybody, I don't know. I got a face for radio, so I may not have any type of luck.
You're cute. You stop it right now, Sean Green.
Well, you know, I don't know. I may have some luck. Who knows? But, man.
Hey, you might find me on there. Swipe right on me.
Oh, if I find you, I'm definitely hitting you up. Probably Netflix and chill. Thanks very much for joining us. We'll be back right after this.
Thanks for listening to The Sean Green Show, the entertainment guru. You could friend him on Facebook, Sean Green Show Media, or follow him on Twitter, @Sean Green Show. The Sean Green Show on WGN Plus and SeanGreenShow.com.